We've got Brother Ira Blackman coming up, and he's going to be speaking this morning, and we're excited about that. But let's just receive Ira properly. Lord, we thank you for Brother Ira. We thank you for the word that is burning in his soul, Father God. We thank you for his not only his pastoral and his teaching gift, Father God, but we thank you for all the time that him and Francine dedicate to this church and to the healing rooms and to the healing ministry, Father God. We know their hearts just like you know their hearts, Father God, but we just thank you for Brother Ira this morning, Lord. We just receive him and we just praise you for him and Francine right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand clap.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Glory to God. So, Father, we thank you again. We thank you for this opportunity to stand, dear God, in Jesus' name. We just plead the blood of Jesus over every area, over this place, and we decree and declare that nothing of the enemy will be able to operate here in this place. And, Father, we just thank you for all that you are doing in Jesus' great name. Amen. Amen. We are just so grateful for Apostle Nash for our standing here this morning. Amen. Amen. And for all of you, God bless you. Thank you for coming out to praise the Lord and give him glory and praise. We are so glad to see our good friends, the Brooks, here this morning, Ron and Barbara Brooks in. Amen. Thank you so much for coming out. Amen. So I always say, how about we just take the nasty plunge and just jump right in, amen? The water is fine, don't worry, no danger in the water. We can just jump right in. And such is the word of God. It's so deep that the most sophisticated academician can dive in and not hit bottom. And yet it's shallow enough for a brand new baby-born Christian to jump in and not drown, amen? Is the word of God. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. I'm reading from the New King James. And so just a little while this morning, we want to talk about who you really are. Who you really are. Amen. So as you already know, Ephesians is the second doctrinal letter, doctrinal, what we believe as Christians, with Romans being the first doctrinal letter in our New Testament. Romans set forth for us our true relationship as believers to Christ in his death and his burial and his resurrection. We believe that he died. We believe that he was buried. We believe that he got up for our justification. That's what we believe doctrinally. Amen. In Ephesians, the second doctrinal letter pictures us as believers as sitting together with Christ in heavenly places, who you really are. Amen. How many of you know that identity theft is a huge problem in the world today, amen? And that major damage can occur before you even realize that there was an infraction, that a theft had occurred, amen? And likewise, also in the world in the body of Christ in particular, spiritual identity theft is a huge problem. Amen. Because when we don't realize or fail to walk in who you are created to be, you may become a victim of spiritual identity theft. Because if you don't know that something belongs to you, then it's easy for it to be stolen from you by the enemy. Amen. Amen. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy." Identity theft. But Jesus says, "But I am come that you may have life, and that more abundantly." Amen. Amen. Who you really are. So verse 2 says, grace to you. You. It's to you. It's for you. It's not for somebody else. It's for you. It's yours. You have to grab that, receive that, know that it's yours. Amen. Amen. It's undeserved favor. It's for you. Grace. Charis. You are accepted. You are acceptable. You are favored. Amen. And see, many times when you're going through something, people are going through something, they think, well, all those sounds nice, but it never happens for me. It always happens for someone else. Why is it always happening for someone else and it doesn't happen to me? Maybe you are a victim of identity theft, not realizing that it is for you, that it is yours, and it does belong to you. But you don't realize it's yours, then it's easy for somebody to walk off with it. And you may be looking right at them, not realizing that that's your stuff they're leaving with. Whoa. Amen. So grace is yours. It's yours. Favor. Accepted. You are accepted. You are acceptable. And many times when you're going through things, people feel like they're not acceptable. They shun people. And they try to go away from God rather than running to God. Because the enemy has deceived and think that you are not acceptable. You're not good enough. God is mad at you. God is waiting to get back at you when you come back to him. So you go in another direction. Your identity has just been stolen. Because sons and daughters don't run away from the Father. They run to the Father. Amen. Amen. Identity theft. See, we know that our faith cometh by hearing, but so does doubt. Who are you listening to? What are you listening to? You listen to the enemy whisper, "Oh, that's not for you," or "You this always that's for somebody else." Oh, you remember back when? Amen. Amen. But grace is for you. It says not only that, but it says and peace. Amen. Peace. Arene. Peace. Quiet. Quietness. Peaceable. 1 Peter 3:4 says a gentle and quiet spirit is very precious in the sight of the Lord. And since it's very precious in the sight of the Lord, the enemy always comes to try to destroy your peace. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. You try to keep things, always keep something going, a whirlwind, something always happening, trying to destroy your peace. But when you realize who you are, that peace belongs to you, grace belongs to you, you do the Mary Thomas. Amen. And bind the enemy. Amen. Because you know that peace belongs to me. That it's something of very precious to God. And he's given it to me. And Satan, you can't have it. It's mine. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says that the Father is for you and the Christ is for you. They are on your side. They are in your corner. Regardless of what is going on, the enemy try to think you out there all by yourself. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. But he says, the Father and the Son. So you have to know that God the Father and the Son are for you and not against you. Amen. And so one deception we find many times when you're going through something and the enemy will try to get you, no, and the world will say this, no, you got to face your enemy and put him in this place. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to face him instead of facing your God. So as long as you're facing your enemy, he always come up with distractions and try to keep you distracted and keep you, don't look over there, look over here, da-da. Keep you distracted. But since God and the Father and the Son is for me, I can turn my back on my enemy and face my God. Amen. And have revelation, have peace, have downloads from heaven. Amen. Have an answer. Have peace. A quiet and gentle spirit where the Lord can give me instructions, blueprints, downloads, roadmaps. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, here we go, who has blessed us, past tense, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. And so I looked at the word every, and I said, well, every? 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 Well, I'm looking at another version. King James. King James says all. All spiritual blessings. All? All? Well, let me look up all. All. Okay, Greek. All. All. Past. P-A-S. And I was shocked to discover what that meant. You know what that meant? When I looked up in the Greek, pause, it meant all. Okay, Hebrew, all. You know what it meant? All. You can't get over all. You can't get around all. You can't get under all. All is just all. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Wow. And it said has blessed. So it's past tense, which says it's already yours. It belongs to you. Whoa. And that's what the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy in your life, not wanting you to know who you really are. Because if you wake up and find out who we really are, then that will keep the devil up at night. Amen. Amen. So he comes to steal your identity, not wanting you to know who you really are. Let's just say I'm the enemy, and I'm coming. I got my list. I'm coming. I'm bullying, right? And I'm coming to Will. I'm saying, put you on my list, man. I got you. I know I got you. I can whoop you. I'll put you on my list. Then I go to Natalie and say, I'm put you on my list. I know I got you. I come to Matt. Say, I got you, son. Put you on my list. And you know, Natalie been going to those self-defense classes, and she stands up and she says, and take her defensive stance, say, I don't think you can whip me. Well, I'm going to take you off my list then. Amen. Because I'm not going to be able to steal from her when she knows who she is. Right? Amen. So I can't steal from her because she knows who she is. So when a son or a daughter realize who they really are in God and that they already have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, you're going to be a problem for the enemy. Amen. Amen. And so it says, oh, every spiritual blessing. So would you want to look at some of those? You got time? You want to look at some of the things that already belong to you? Let's look at a few right here in the text. Look at verse 7. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins. That's important, because if it's not forgiveness, then it's hell, right? That's a spiritual blessing in heavenly places. According to the riches of his grace. So he has grace and he has a lot of it. The riches of his grace. Verse 8. Which he made to abound toward us. It says he didn't sprinkle out grace, unmerited favor, acceptability. It abounds toward us. And the enemy try to make you think, well, maybe God had a little grace for you. You're not much. So maybe God will have mercy, have you little. No, it abounds. Abounding grace belongs to you. Amen. Amen. In all wisdom and prudence. And so not only has he have abounding grace, but God gives it with wisdom and prudence. There's nothing that you won't hold from your child. Yet you know how to give it. You have wisdom with when you give to your child. Like your child 6 years old, he said, Dad, can I drive the car? Well, you like them, but no, but it doesn't. But one day, but not right now, amen. That's not wise. That's not prudent. So our Father has abounding grace with wisdom and prudence. I remember years ago when I was a teenager, I said, Lord, now look, I got it all figured out. All we need to do is da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and look, it just, psh, copacetic. Never did happen. and then with time, when I look back on it, I find myself glad that it did not happen, because of what would have it just been a mess, amen. So he has wisdom and prudence with the grace that he has for us, amen. Look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? So he wants us to understand. He wants our eyes to be open and our understanding to be enlightened. Amen. Amen. So that we can know. See, nobody can take something from you or talk you out of something when you know. Amen. An enemy will always try to talk you out of what already belongs to you. Amen. You sometimes see them out in public, and you see the guys come down the street with a little flim-flam. Excuse me, ma'am. Francine, come on. Huh? Look, baby, come on. It's just a scam. Come on. Let's go. Nobody try to talk you out of something that already belongs to you. You don't even have to give it any attention or any attention at all. Amen. So he wants us to know what is the hope of his calling. And you see the word hope, that word hope is not what we normally define as, well, I hope it happens. Well, I hope so. That's not hope. Hope here is the assurance. We have this anchor, this firm foundation, this assurance of the future. That we may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory. He wants us to know the riches of his glory. Amen. He wants us to know that and the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We have an inheritance, but you are God's inheritance. His inheritance in you. So you are his inheritance. Wow, that just take your, if you can put that on NASDAQ, it'll go through the roof, your stock would. Amen, because you are God's inheritance. That's who you are. So why people are walking around with their face down in the hog pen in life, when all they could do is, because of who they are, they can look up and live. Right? Whatever it is, repent and get on with living. Amen. But the enemy will try to want to keep your head in the hog pen of life when you repent, because what? Grace makes that possible. Amen. It puts you back in right standing with the Father. Amen. It's who you are. That's part of every spiritual blessing. Amen. Look at chapter 2, verse 24. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he hath loved us. So God is rich in mercy. Okay. Why? Because of his great love. Because of his rich mercy and his great love, he loves us with that. So a person can be sitting here and have great love, and the person can be sitting here next to him, but this person may not necessarily love that person with great love and mercy. But that's not so with God. God, because of his great love, he loves us with the rich mercy. He loves us with the great love. That's who you are. Amen. And I find out when you know and realize that when you know that someone loves you, it doesn't matter what happens in life, you can make it. Amen. If life offers you lemons and you know someone loves you, you say, I think I'll make lemonade. Rich mercy, because of his great love with which he loves us. Amen. And sometimes, you know, we all have things they don't always go because the way you want it to go. Amen. And when I have those days, I know what to do. What I call Francine. Why? Because I know she loves me. Hey, whatever is going on, I can make it because she loves me. Glory. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loves us. Whoa, that's who you are. So whatever the enemy tries to bring this in or that in, when you know that he loves me, I can make it through whatever because someone loves me. Amen. That's who you are. You are greatly beloved of God. Amen. Let's look at one more right quick. Amen. We just got time for one more. Chapter 3, verse 16. That he would grant you. And so this is for you. This is not for other people. As the enemy will try to think, it's all for us, that's for other people. It never happens to me. It never happens for me. No, it's for you. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory. So that's the measuring stick. The measure is not that he has a bowl for or he has a cup for. The measuring stick is the riches of his glory. It's what he works with. Amen. To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So what does that say? It says that the might of God is the vigor and the strength of God, not only in you, but on you, to fulfill the heavenly blueprint for your life. God has a plan. God has a blueprint for your life. And he gives us his might to accomplish our blueprint for our lives. Amen. That he established before he said, let there be. Amen. Amen. So that's who you are. God has a plan and purpose and loved us even before he said, let there be. Wow. So the verse said that we be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So his might in you is Kratos, his spirit in you. But his spirit on you is dunamis. I like what Bill Johnson said. He says, his power in me is for me, Kratos. But his power on me is for you and others. Amen. Dunamis. So he has already given us out of his riches of his glory the strength and might that is needed to complete our heavenly blueprint for life. And the enemy comes to try to talk you out of that. The enemy comes to try to say this doesn't belong to you. It's not for you. It's for other people. Amen. He's coming with identity theft. Amen. Amen. So he wants your inner man strengthened to the extent that you know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He wants you to be a walk in Philippians 4:13. Amen. You can wake up in the morning with fresh strength to walk through life as an overcomer and not a victim of identity theft. Amen. It belongs to you because chapter 1 verse 3 says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Amen. Amen. So that's who you really are. Amen. And I believe that one of the greatest fears the enemy has is a son or a daughter begin to realize who they really are. Amen. Because you will be a problem for the devil. Amen. And I believe we are embarking upon a generation of people, of sons and daughters who know who they really are. I had a dream a few weeks ago. It was the setting was like in the pavilion of a set of office buildings. You have like a pavilion in the middle there, and I was overhearing two ladies talking and saying, we have all these babies coming and we are not ready. Then in a dream, I'm saying, well, it's lunchtime. It's time to go to lunch. And I tried to go to a restaurant, and it was jam-packed, not a seat in the house. And everybody's chowing down like they were starving. Why? They were hungry. And there's a line out the door. And so they had to lock the front door because they didn't have any more room until somebody else had a table available. And then there was another line forming along the side of the wall, and people were trying to open the door. They were hungry. The babies are coming and they are hungry. And we have to know who we are to be usable, to be effective. Amen. We can't give and impart what's been stolen from you already and that you don't know it belongs to you. How can you impart something if you don't know you have it or it belongs to you? Amen. Amen. And so I said, well, that place is packed. I went to another place. It was packed. Another place, it was packed because people were hungry. I mean, eating like they never eaten before. However, also there was some restaurants that were closed. Nothing to offer. They were closed down. And that's what the plan on the enemy is. When you steal your identity, he can shut you down where you have nothing to offer. To offer the babies, to offer the hungry ones, to offer those who we don't have room for, may not be prepared for. Amen. Amen. Wow. So it's yours. And that's just four things. But you have every spiritual blessing. Amen. Now look back at chapter 1, verse 4. And it says, what else do we have? He says, just as he chose us in him from the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. Amen. So, I think that when you look at this verse, it says we've been chosen. And when I think about Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, all six chapters, all 155 verses, all 3,039 words, the words that grab me most and cause my heart to burn is that we are chosen. Amen. We are chosen. Praise God. We are chosen. Amen. Amen. We are chosen. He chose us. Not only that, we were chosen from the foundation of the world. So before God said, let there be, he had you and your life and your blueprint already laid out. So that should do wonders for your self-esteem, that know that God chose me first before he made anything in the world. God chose me. Every so often you look in the mirror and say to yourself, I'm chosen. I'm chosen. I'm important to God. I'm chosen. I have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I'm chosen. Glory to God. And when you realize that, you're not won't be so idle to let the enemy come in and steal something from you. Amen. To make you think, well, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve that. Well, I remember why I messed up. You're chosen. Amen. And here's the thing. You didn't have anything to do with it. Before he said, let there be, you were chosen for every spiritual blessing in heavenly places from the foundation of the world. Why? That you might be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. And so you're chosen to be holy and without blame. And one of the biggest tools the enemy has is guilt. He tries to play the delay the guilt trip and play the blame game. Amen. Guilt and blame. But the scripture says, God, you've been chosen to be holy and without blame. So whatever happened, what if you made a mistake? What if you messed up? Again, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? We're both in your corner, right? Then you are, now I'm chosen to be holy and without blame. How you like that, Satan? Get out of here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm without blame before him. I'm blameless, guiltless, because of grace and that was purchased for me on Calvary, that God decided that I should have before he said, let there be. Now who wants that to be stolen from us? Amen. Amen. That's who you are. That's who you are. That we may be blameless before him. Here we go, in love. Not a passing acquaintance, but with intimacy, in relationship, amen, intimate, in love with God. That's how he feels about us, right? He says, verse 5, having predestined us, beforehand. So all is done beforehand. You didn't have anything to do with it. He just lavished, it's part of the abounding grace that he lavished on us, right? Destined to the adoption as sons of Jesus, as sons by Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And so we understand the word what adoption means, but here the word adoption has a dual meaning that's both present and future. First of all, to get in the family of God, we don't get in the family of God by adoption. You get in the family of God by regeneration, in the new birth and being born again. Is that right? All right. But so the adoption here in the text is the act of God whereby he gives you an adult sonship status in his family. You have adult sonship status. So in this culture, it was the sons, which everything was focused on. It was the eldest son who was able to function and move around and function and receive inheritances from the father, right? Well, we've been adopted into as sons, and what that means is God gives us adult sonship status in the family of God. Amen. So you get to immediately to claim your inheritance and to enjoy your spiritual wealth. You don't have to wait 20 years. Now, how long you been a member? Where you haven't been a member? No. You get to immediately enjoy spiritual wealth because you have been adopted as a full-grown son into the family of God. Amen. See, a baby cannot legally use this inheritance, but an adult son can and should. So you've been adopted as full-grown sons into the family of God. When you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe that he died for your sins, you believe that he got up for your justification, you confess that with your mouth, ask him to be your Lord, come into and live in your life, you have adult sonship status. Amen. To operate in the family of God and to enjoy your spiritual wealth. What Clay says all the time, we enjoying God every day. Amen. Amen. So if you don't realize you have spiritual wealth to enjoy, maybe you're a victim of spiritual identity theft. Amen. Amen. And so we've been adopted as sons according to the good pleasure of his will. He just wanted to do it because he loves us. It was his good pleasure. How many of you buy things for your children because not the child asks for it, because you get pleasure in buying it for them? The child don't have any idea it's coming. It's your good pleasure to buy for children and grandchildren. So it is here. It was his good pleasure to make us adult sons in the family of God, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Amen. The glory of his grace. So it's not, his grace is glorious. He lavished that on us, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We've been made accepted. You know, the enemy tell you, now you remember what you did back, you know. But because of grace and forgiveness and what Calvary purchased for us, we can tell you, look, Satan, take that junk down the hall, right, man? And because why? I've been made to be accepted in the beloved. Beloved. You see, a parent, a grandparent pick up their brand new grandchild, it's something beyond love. It's beloved, my beloved. Wow. They can do no wrong. Amen. Amen. I don't care what they do. They mess up the dive. Oh, baby, made a messy. Oh, grandma, get it. Oh. They can do no wrong. Amen. Why? Because they are beloved. And so you have been made accepted in the beloved. Amen. Verse 7. In him whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins. Here we go. According to the riches of his grace. Grace and peace is for you. And because of that grace and peace, we have forgiveness for sins, that we can live forever. We have eternal life. Amen. verse 8, that he made to, here we go, abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Amen. So God's not stingy with it. He lavishes it out on us. And it's for you. So you have to say, like, God, that's for me. That's for me. That has my name on it. It's for me. This is for me. It's not, I always thought that was for other people, somebody else. It's for that church down the street. It's for those really nice people. But no, it's for me. Glory to God. Amen. And so if we are not consciously walking in this, you may be, you are possible, you're a great candidate for spiritual identity theft. Because this is who you really are. Amen. Amen. So, who are you? You are blessed with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. 1 and 3. Who are you? You are chosen from the foundation of the world. 1 and 4. Who are you? You are the bride of Christ. We need to hit that right quick. Verse 6. And he has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in us, in his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. So we're the bride of Christ, right? And he says that in the ages to come. So from the time of, he said, let there be, to now, it's still one age. But his plans are in the ages to come, that he wants to show his exceeding riches and grace in his kindness toward us. Whoa, that's who you are in Jesus Christ. So we're his bride. I call that, we're his trophy bride. That in ages to come, he wants to show us off. Amen. I see years ago on TV, I don't know, you have these Hollywood executives, they be 60, 70, 80 years old, and they have, their wife is 20 years old, right? The trophy bride, and you want to show off, amen. We're here in verse 6, 7, and 8, we're the trophy bride. God wants to show us off throughout the ages, show his kindness toward us, show his grace toward us, amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourself. Grace and peace be to you. And quickly, this is enlightened a little bit further. Next chapter, chapter 3 and 10. It says, to the intent. Aha! Intent. Intent is important. Amen. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. That's you, the trophy bride, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So God wants to release his manifold wisdom, his multi-sided wisdom, to you, the church, in order for principalities and powers can learn more about the wisdom of God based on how he deals with us. Oh. So angels, principalities, heavenly beings are learning more about the wisdom of God by watching you and God's manifold, multi-sided, multicolored wisdom he's releasing through us. That angels learn, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You made him a little lower than Yahweh and crowned him with glory and honor, gave him dominion over the works of your hands. Who are you? You're the bride. Glory to God. You are the one that God uses as an object lesson to teach heavenly powers, more about himself. And they've been around a lot longer than we have, but he uses us to release his wisdom in and through to teach them more about who he is. Whoa, you somebody. No wonder the enemy wants to steal your identity. Amen. So who are you? You are the trophy bride. And lastly, let's look quickly. We're out of time. Again, chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. So he says, we are his workmanship. But look at workmanship. Workmanship comes from the word poema. Poema is where we get the word poem. So, Ben, I know, fellas, you know, this is something. I know you're all familiar with this at one time before when you first tried to get your wife to say, I do. You probably still do this, but you would say a poem. You would write her a poem. I know you still do it, but I'm just saying. That's what the word means. You write a poem, right? And he says, we are his workmanship, his poema. And what does a poem do? It expresses the attitude of your heart, the love of your heart. Well, could it be if we are his workmanship, his poema, when God wants to express the love of his heart, he would say, let us make man after our image and after our likeness. And because he's a good, good father, we give him dominion over the works of our hands. In other words, I'm going to make it. Now, son, you run it. Because of the love that he has for us, that we are expression of the love of his heart. His poema, his poem, his workmanship. That's who you are. And so the enemy tries to steal that identity from you because you, when you know that you are greatly beloved of God, and that no matter what happens, God loves me. Well, you're a problem for the devil, right? Amen. Amen. But so that's who you are. You are his workmanship. You are his poem. You are his masterpiece. You are his trophy bride. You are chosen from the foundation of the world. You have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places through Christ Jesus. And I like what Romans 8:37, you don't have to turn there, but he says, we are more than conquerors. Wow. More than conquerors. Now, we know, we can understand the concept of conqueror. The concept of conqueror says there's a contest or a struggle or something like that between two or more individuals, and one individual or side defeated the other, and they were the conqueror, right? Well, so how can you be more than a conqueror? Well, since we're more than conquerors, we say we're more than conquerors. Well, it's kind of like this. If I was a boxer and I'm going to train, I'm going to fight for the world championship of the world, all right? And I'm going to get my train, I'm going to get my beat my body in subjection, I'm going to box the air, I'm going to run 50 miles a day and sit-ups and all that, push-ups and all that stuff, and get ready. And when the match comes and I win, I'm the champion. I am the champion. I am the champ. Well, that's back in match day. Everybody else, I'm the champion, and I get the purse, $25 million. Right? I'm the conqueror. And I go home, and I say, here, babe. She's more than a conqueror. She didn't run 1 mile. She didn't throw a single punch. She didn't do a single setup. But she has the reward in our hands. We have been given, blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We are more than conquerors. That's who you really are. Amen.